Welcome back. God speaks, and we are to listen. Now, you may be saying, I've never heard the actual voice of God. As we rejoin our discussion of prayer, George is about to provide examples of how God sometimes speaks through others. Here's George.
So here are a few examples of God speaking through people and directly to people. These examples I'm giving are from 1 Corinthians 12 and from Acts 21 and 22, and then lastly from Jeremiah 33. You can go look them up. There are many such examples like this throughout Scripture. Here's the first. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Here's another. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. Yet another. Now it happened, when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, that I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. And then this, ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets that you do not know about things to come. The conclusion in these small quotes and throughout Scripture, it's simple, it's profound. We have a God who speaks. He speaks in a variety of ways. He does sometimes speak with words, and we should listen. But he also speaks with images, dreams, visions, convictions of the heart, signs, wonders, healings, leadings, even whispers, the still small voice of 1 Kings 19. He speaks and speaks and speaks. And when he does, we must listen and also discern if we are hearing rightly, usually with the counsel of mature believers, but we must listen. We have a God who speaks to us. Let me tell you one small story of one way he once spoke to me. One night, as I got into bed, I felt something on my hand. I'd been in some pretty wild places outdoors. I looked at my hand, and there was a tick about to burrow itself into me. I crushed it with my thumb, and I put it over on the dresser. I got up to check myself for other ticks. As I stood up, I looked down at the dresser, and the tick was walking around, paying no attention to the fact that I had just crushed it. I took a water bottle with a cap, turned it upside down, and smashed the tick 10 or 12 times until he was a little mashed-up ball. I went into the bathroom for a more thorough inspection. I came back into the bedroom, and there was the tick moving around again. I smashed him again until all the guts were spattered all over. I wrapped him in toilet paper, and I flushed him. If he's still swimming out there somewhere, at least he's nowhere near me. Well, ticks are like sin. Sometimes when sin begins to get to us, we're barely aware of it. Might not even feel that little bit of motion, and then it buries itself in us. Isn't that the way it works? You don't even really quite feel it, and then, like Lyme disease, it poisons you inside, maybe even onto death. Sin is just like that. It sneaks in like ticks do, and then it begins to do its work, even injecting poison that will inflame your joints and weaken your walk and sap your energy. You've been undone by what looked like a tiny little invasion. Maybe it was just a tick, and there was no message in it. But as I prayed about that tick, God said, "Let me tell you about sin." And then he used the tick to reveal how sin sneaks into our lives and poisons us. This was God speaking to me, and I listened. Finally, here in this section about prayer, I want to just make some brief comments about speaking in tongues. It's unfortunate that speaking in tongues has long been the subject of debate and controversy, some of it very bitter, and I'm tempted to skip the topic because so many advocates and opponents feel so strongly about it. But the issue isn't going to go away, and it shouldn't be left unaddressed. Tongues were a normative part of the Christian experience in the early church. While some cautions were given as to when it was appropriate, Paul said he wished everyone spoke in tongues, but even more that they spoke prophetically. And go back and listen to the previous section on listening for a piece of what this means. Scripture doesn't indicate that tongues were reserved for the early church, and the idea that they stopped toward the end of the first century is really quite recent, in the 1800s. I pray in tongues, and I have for decades. I experience it as heart talk. The deepest groanings and the highest hopes of my heart are expressed in a prayer language that is unedited and uncensored by the copy editor in my mind. I do not believe that those who lack this experience lack evidence that they are saved, as some would assert. Nor do I believe that those who pray in tongues are superior, or oppositely, that they are irrational and unhinged. Tongues is a gift testified to by Scripture, one of many that the Spirit bestows as He sees fit, and one that can be sought and received. But it is not a proof of superiority, legitimacy, or lunacy. Finally, the gift of tongues in Scripture actually refers to four or more distinct but related gifts. If you'd like more to read and to understand about this gift of tongues, there are two books that I would suggest. One is 9 o'clock in the Morning by Dennis Bennett, and the other is The Beauty of Spiritual Language by Jack Hayford. I recommend both of those books. Well, we've spent a considerable amount of time now looking at prayer and looking at how it is used in many different kinds of settings, in many different denominations, different kinds of churches. We've looked at people who pray in church where there are statues or stained glass windows or paintings. We've looked at whether it's appropriate to pray to saints or not, and why some denominations might do that. We've really surveyed the variety of ways in which Christians pray. Not to say that every one of those is wonderful or we should employ all of them or every one of us should do, not to knock them down or criticize them, but rather just to understand how wide the variety is in the ways that people pray. But ultimately, it all has to come back to a realization of how important and essential, in spite of the kinds of variety, just the very gift of prayer is an enormous gift, and its purpose, ultimately, is conversation and communion with God. It is how we live out our covenant with Him. It is how we talk and abide in Him, and it is how He lives in and through us. In prayer, we speak to God, and God hears and He speaks to us. Now, he does this speaking to us, in a million different ways. In fact, I would say he listens to us pray in a million different ways. Sometimes we pray in words, sometimes in cries, sometimes just in holding someone. We pray in so many different ways. And he speaks to us. He responds in so many different ways, with scripture, with words, with visions, with convictions, with hugs and hearts and care and love and healing, and sometimes with ticks. Directly and through others, with and without words, our God speaks and speaks and speaks. And so we should listen and listen and listen. Then our very lives become continuous prayer, as Paul calls to us across the centuries from 1 Thessalonians 5, always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. What a gift prayer is to us from the God who loves us so much.
What a gift indeed. Thank you, George, for helping us dive deeper into the privilege of prayer. If you'd like to get your own copy of the book, What We Believe and Why, you can do so by going to the website by the same name, whatwebelieveandwhy.com.